So if you're just joining us, our first lesson was understanding the biblical foundation of the anointing. Just say the word anointing and people's minds just go everywhere. I mean, from hanging from the chandeliers to dousing you with a gallon of oil, you know. I remember I was in DR on a missions trip in Dominican Republic, and they called us to the front to lay hands on the sick like we did this morning. And the pastor grabbed a large jar. And I just gonna put my finger in it, you know, and just anoint people. He said, No, Pastor. Put your hands out like this, he said. And he poured that oil all in my hand. I had oil from head to toe. And he said, now go pray for the people of God. So when you say the word anointing, you can get all kinds of thoughts and pictures in your mind. But God did move that day. We used up the whole vase. Most of it was on me. So that was the first lesson. The second lesson was Moses and the elders of Israel. They were at Mount Sinai, and we talked about the dimensions of the anointing. We talked about those are far away. The Israelites said, hey, Moses, you go in. We don't want to go in. You go in for us. We'll just stay back here. They were afraid of the glory of God. Can I tell you, God never intended his people to be afraid of his presence. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean be afraid of the Lord. Fear of the Lord means honor the Lord, respect the Lord, love the Lord, come into the Lord's presence. But that was one level. And then the closer the elders, they came a little closer, yet they're still far away. But Moses was walking in the glory cloud. How many would like to leave church today full of the glory of God? Getting in the glory cloud, walking in the fog, walking in the favor of God. That was the second lesson. And then the third lesson was the river part one, Ezekiel's vision, John. We also read John 7, 37 and 30 through 39, where Jesus on the last day of the feast had a gold pitcher and he's pouring water out on the altar, of sacrifice. And he was saying to the people, hey, if anyone thirst, let him come and drink from the river of life freely. I mean, oh, God has a river for God's people to drink from. A resource, a reservoir where you never run dry. That's why he was telling the woman at the well, Samaria, hey, give me a drink. He said, I'm so thirsty. And he saw that she had a water pot. But how many know Jesus had another plan? The Lord is never thirsty. He was thirsty in his humanity, but he wasn't thirsty in his divinity. And he took his humanity and received from her, but in his divinity, he poured all the water in her life so she never thirst again. And that's what he was doing on the last day of the feast. But we also talked about the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Let's just check it out. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. How many know Jesus is coming from the east? And he's coming here today. Amen. For you. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate, led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000, brought me through the water, and the water came up to my waist, to my loins, some say. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river. And it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? And then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And let's see what happened there. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Can you see it? Get the picture here. It's revelation. It's the glory of God. It's the river that came from the throne of God. Are you seeing this? And then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, here's what happens. And this is what I want to talk about in part two of the river. The waters are healed. I mean, there is a powerful effect of the waters of God, the river of God, a picture of the Holy Spirit and his anointing on our life. When you're touched with him, I mean, your life will never be the same. And it shall be, verse 9, that every living thing that moves wherever rivers go will live. You shall not die, but live. Amen? Touched by the Lord. And there will be a very great multitude of fish. Some other stuff is happening here because these waters go there. Multiplication anointing. Are you hearing me? For there will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. Wherever the river goes, life goes. And it shall be that fishermen, they will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and they will be places for spreading their nets. Some fishing's going down. And their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But the swamps and the marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. God has a purpose in everything. And along the bank of the river and on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. Is anybody feeling the faith of God rise up in this place? And there will bear much fruit every month because their waters flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Oh, the river of God sets my feet a-dancing. Remember we talked about that last week? Oh, Grove, I know who you are, and you don't dance a lot. But you've never in 23 years stopped me from dancing. It's the river of God that set my feet a-dancing. Hey, nobody can stop me from praising the Lord. When he saved me, he brought me out of a whole lot of stuff. And if you know what it's like to be brought out of something and into something better, you ought to give the Lord a praise this morning. Amen. So the river of God is the source. It's God is the source. It's not a river coming from man. It's not a man-made canal. I mean, no, this is the one river. No no tributaries, no canals, no other places to branching off. This is one river, and it's so amazing because the river only goes one way. There's no tide. It's not like the water goes in and then goes back. How many know when God comes into your life, he's going all the way? How many want to go all the way into the anointing of God? He's saying, I'm your source. If you get into this water, your initial ankle-deep water, he said, that's salvation experience. That's why no man comes to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. He was searching for you before you ever found him. Can I tell you, I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. And I got into the water, man, and I was just ankle deep. I had no idea what I was doing. But is anybody here thankful you got in the river? We're in the river of God. Hey, that's a wonderful place to be. Security there, peace is there, his presence is there, joy is there. Everything you need is in the river. Amen? He's the source. And then he's also the sufficiency. I said, he is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for everything. Amen? I mean, we concluded already that you can't stay on the bank and not get in at all. If you never surrender to salvation, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. Is anybody hearing me? I'm glad I jumped in 43 years ago last month. I'm glad. Hey, if you haven't gotten in, you need to get in. You say, pastors, I don't understand about the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. But on the third day, he resurrected. Are you hearing me? He's alive. And proof that he's alive is that he went through the heavenlies, put his own blood on the mercy seat, tapped out with the Holy Spirit, and on the Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, on the day of Pentecost, when God fully was ready, he poured out his Spirit upon them, and they began to pray in his Spirit, and had tongues of fire on them. This is the birth of the church. This is the beginning of the river. You see, in John 20, the disciples were there, and Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, of course, at salvation, ankle deep. Are y'all with me this morning? Ankle deep. You're in the river. Welcome to the kingdom of God. But there's more. Oh, y'all going to make me go crazy in here this morning, I believe. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. See, because he had not yet been glorified. You read that in John 7 last week. We read it. Remember that? Because he had not yet been glorified. So that was salvation. But at Pentecost, that's the fullness. And the river continues to go on. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You can move forward in faith, ankle deep, verse 3, receiving the initial touch of God as salvation, but never moving forward. Some people get in and never move on. And I'm glad you're saved. Listen, I'm glad you're saved. But if somebody told you that's all there is, and listen, that's enough to get to heaven. But can I tell you? I'm not just trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to make it through earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, if I'm going to make it to the end, I'm going to need some power. If I'm going to make a difference in the kingdom of God, I'm not going to be able to do it in the arm of the flesh. I need the Holy Spirit. I think I got a Pentecostal church that's with me this morning. Receiving the initial touch of God at salvation is one thing, but there's more. And there's a whole line of people that tell you that's all you need. There's no more Holy Spirit baptism. There's nothing else you need. You got all you got from God when you got salvation. The truth is you got Jesus and you do have all you need for salvation. But there's more. I said there's a whole lot more. And I'm sad that people are living their life thinking that the Holy Spirit baptism and tongues and the manifestation of the gifts and all that cessationist that believe it's all going back with the apostles. It's not for us. How many know the devil is a liar? What God has for you and me, it's for all of us today. It's still moving. I said the river's still flowing. So you can wade out a little deeper and you get in the knee deep. I call it the frog level. Knee deep, knee deep. Verse 4, it refers to the maturation process in the life of a believer. The maturation process. You understand? Jesus didn't want you to stay a baby forever. Thank God you're in the kingdom, but there's more. You got to grow up. How many know the church needs to grow up for God's sake, for the church's sake, and for the kingdom's sake? You can't stay in that little baby infant's, place forever. You have to move along. And then people say, I'm so afraid. I'm afraid of the deep water. I mean, no, the devil has made you afraid of the deep water. It wasn't God who made you afraid of the deep water. In fact, I see Jesus saying, come on. Come on. Come on. Are you hearing me? He's pleading with you. Come on a little further. Come deeper. He told the disciples, launch out into the deep water. You're hanging around the shallow shore. You know how many shallow churches there are today? They give you just enough of Jesus to get you to heaven. But how many know there's so much more? I'm not trying to knock anybody. I'm just trying to say, I believe that many churches have stunted the growth of the body. God intends the body to grow. If you're going to make a difference in the kingdom, if you're going to be a missional church, a church that's going to make a difference, you got to go further into the water. Step into the water. Way down a little bit deeper for the Southern Gospel folks. Wet your feet in the water of his love. Okay, no Southern Gospel people here. Wade out a little deeper. Grow up for God's sake. This is where your prayer life begins to be and disciplines begin to come in. You're growing. You're maturing, right? It's a shame to have to part the mustache to put the pacifier in your mouth. It's a shame. Can't be a full-grown baby. So it's a process in the life of a believer. You're moving deeper, a greater desire for the word. How many have a greater desire for the word since you got saved? How many, hey, listen, if you're not experiencing the power in the river and its current, some folks get here and they get comfortable to stay here. They love the Lord. They pay their tithe. They read their Bible. They pray a little, maybe even a little intercession. They're knee deep, but that's comfortable. I'm kind of afraid to go back. I might lose my footing. It's knee deep. Somebody will work with you. I said, somebody will help you out. At Oak Grove, if you're knee deep, we're not making fun of you. We want you to go deeper. We're glad you're knee deep. We're glad you're ankle deep. But there's more. Somebody shout more. Some folks get there and they get comfortable. Nobody's belittling your experience. We're only saying there's more. And then the next level, Ezekiel walked into the water. It was up to his waist, his loin. Now he's talking about reproduction. Now you're learning how to share your faith. Now you're caring about somebody other than you. Amen? Your prayer life might be limited. It's like, Pray for me, pray for me, pray for my, pray for my, pray for me, pray for me. Now you're starting to pray for somebody else. I love what the William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he wanted to send a telegraph to all the other Salvation Army units around the world, but it was so expensive. But the telegraph office said, if you only send one word, it'll be pretty economical. What word do you want to send? He said, others. How many know around the world when they got the telegraph from Mr. Booth, they knew what he was talking about. We as a church ought to be concerned with others. You're not growing up until you get your eyes off yourself and start putting on somebody else who might need something from the Lord. It's another level. Amen? So you're developing a strong relationship with God. You're feeling experiencing the strength and the power of the river now. And a strong relationship where you can get direction from God. How many know what it's like to get direction from the Lord? Man, now you have a relationship with God. He can speak to you. You can hear his voice. When you're young, like Samuel, you may not can realize that's the Lord speaking. And Eli, the pastor Eli, he had to tell Samuel, hey, that's the Lord, buddy. Go lay down again. That might be me, the Lord. So nobody's belittling the experience. If you're a babe in Christ, we salute you. We praise God. Come on, let's praise God for every new believer. And if you're knee deep, keep hopping. Frog, keep hopping. But when you get to your waist, this is where you get direction from the Holy Spirit. He controls your steps. He orders your steps. Intimacy is growing with Christ when the water is waist high. And half of your body can't be seen. It's hidden under the water. Are you seeing that now? Half of you is hidden in Christ. Oh, come on now. You're starting to realize that it's less of you and more of him. That is the waist level. Yeah, you're hidden in Christ under the flow of the water. And the world now sees more of Jesus and less of you. That's a good thing. Now you're reflecting as Jesus, as we are made in his image. Can I just remind you of something? Whatever you worship, you become. A lot of people not understanding it, but if you got your eyes and your attention and your devotion in the world, how do you know that's what you're going to become? Worldly. But if your love and your eyes and your devotion's on the Lord, you become godly. This is not hard. It's not a trick. I mean, if the pastor can get this in his mind and spirit, you ought to be able to get it in yours. And it didn't take me long. All I had to do was just keep walking. Go a little deeper. Go a little deeper. Don't be afraid of the river. It's the river of God. I said it's the river of God. And the river is pushing you now. It's controlling your steps. You're going deeper. The deeper you go, you're being carried by the current. How many know what it's like to be carried by the current? Hey, yeah, I love, Melissa loves the beach. We go out, I get bored on the shore, and so I got to go in the water. And the water, you know, they got waves because it's tide. So the waves come in, and I'll take 5 steps forward, and then I feel like I got 10 back because of current. But how many remember there's something special about this river? It doesn't push you back. It only pushes you forward. God's not trying to make this hard for you. You're being carried by the current easier, but you're still close enough to the shore so you keep your feet on the ground. I want you to hear this. That's what happens in the level of the waist. We vacillate and we can still touch, and therefore we can decide to go in different direction if we choose to. We're only halfway in. So when you're up, and when you're down, you're down. When you're only halfway up, you're neither up or down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't want to stop halfway. But then there's the final level in the river, and that's where it's over your head. It's over your head. And I believe the angel of the Lord, whoever this is leading, Ezekiel's in the river, in his vision at least. And then he's reaching this place in the river where it is impossible to stand. You can't touch anymore. You can't walk. All you can do is swim. So this is a place in God where you lose control. And that's why Ephesians 5 says, be ye filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled with wine. where it is in excess, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. In other words, you are being carried away by the Spirit, right? Now you're walking in the Spirit because the Spirit is leading you. You're in over your heads. You wouldn't know what you're doing if you tried to. And that's why I told my membership class this morning, aren't you excited? We have 7 new members at Oak Grove joining, 7 new members. Give God praise. I told him our first Sunday we received the church. It was the first weekend of May in somewhere around there in 2002. And the second Sunday we resigned. And everybody's mouth dropped. It's like, whoa, that one didn't last long. I said, no, we're not resigning from the authority or the place that God brought us. We're resigning from the understanding that we can't do this in our own strength. Can I just shout it from the mountaintop? Look what Jesus has done and is doing. Amen? God is doing great things and he's building his church and the gates of hell can't stop it. But it's impossible to stand. This is the place to be. It's not KY3. This is the place to be. Right? We should desire to reach this level at this place, at this pace. We simply surrender to the river's power, surrender to the river's direction. How many know his wisdom is greater than my own wisdom? His strength is greater than my own strength. In fact, when I'm weak, he is strong. His sufficiency is great. And then the surrendering to the river is the last thought I want to bring to you. But you got to get into this place where you simply surrender. Paul says it like this: no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. He takes charge of my future and my destiny. And all the direction is from him. All I do is simply walk in obedience. So Melissa used to say all the time, she'd say when she first got saved, 16-year-old girl, said, when I got saved at ankle deep, he saved me from my past. But when I got in the Holy Spirit baptism, he changed my future. You understand? Now I can't do anything. All I can do is surrender to the river. And I challenge you to resign to your will and your way and flow. Let the river flow, because the river flows where it wills. Remember John chapter 3? The wind blows. He's using another analogy. The wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you don't know where it's going. You can't predict where the wind's going. You can't tell the river where to go. I mean, no, God has this prerogative. He's God, and he doesn't have to ask me if he has any questions. Has anybody here ever questioned God? Nobody. Just me. I challenge you today. It takes complete dependence. Out of control, beyond my ability. Now I'm walking in the cloud. I'm swimming in the river. Amen? Complete surrender. The waters are carrying me where they need me to go. Spirit-led. There's an old song we might sing at the altar. Spirit, lead me where my faith is without borders. Lead me, God. Let me just swim in the river. Let me go where I don't even know what I'm doing. This is called a saturated anointing. Like Aaron, it came over his beard. It just kind of saturated all over him. Amen? Everywhere he went, though, the effects of the river, I hope I can finish the effects of the river. That kind of anointing on your life, everywhere you go, every step, every footprint is left. And everybody's watching and looking at the effectiveness of your life. And you have nothing to do with it. It's all him. Isn't that something? I'll tell you about pastors. I've been pastoring 35 years or more. I don't know. I've stopped counting. We get way too much credit when things go well and way too much blame when things go bad. How many know it's really all God? I mean, if you're in the kingdom and you're a leader, how many know you can't take all of that credit? It's the Lord. And if you need any good thing he's done in you, how many know it's the grace of Almighty God? Amen. So that's what happens. And you don't want to get in that place where you can still touch and still make decisions and get out of his anointing, out of his will. You can see what happened to King Saul. We don't have time to go into it, but covers your entire being. It permeates all you, baptizes you head to toe, completely filled, consumed by him, with him, and now he's leading you. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, ankle deep. I have no need of anything. Amen? He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs. You're seeing that? David is experiencing that I'm just 16, but he's got plans for me to be a king, and I don't have no idea what I'm doing. because God's plans for you will blow your mind. He can't tell you everything. If he told you everything, you'd take off running like Jonah. But completely filled, consumed, okay? So the final thought is the strength of the river. It's for healing. Verse 8, strength of the river. It's for healing. Just surrender. It's the strength of the river. It flows into the Dead Sea, it says, and there it heals the waters. How many know the Holy Spirit wants to heal you? He comes to heal. Jesus said it's expedient. The word expedient, he uses, it's muy importante. It's very important that I leave you. If I don't leave you, I can't go and send the comforter. How many know the comforter is going to be able to do more in you than Jesus and his limited humanity on earth? Are you seeing that? Say, well, I'm going to release the Holy Spirit and he's going to come. It's going to be his time. I mean, we're in the church age, the age of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is moving. I said, the Spirit of God is moving all over the world. If you can only hear good news, all we in America ever hear is bad news. And we tend to gravitate to bad news and negative. If there are 12 go in, 10 come out with a negative report. But I'm looking for somebody full of the Holy Ghost. Two of them would be fine with me. If one can send 1,000 to flight, two can send 10,000 to flight. This is not the day for the church to be scared and paranoid and panicked. We are the church, full of the Spirit of God. Amen? I'm sorry, I got a little excited there. But we reach that place in the river where it's impossible to stand. He can be healing us. Many are in the world floating in a sea of death, the Dead Sea, actually. And there was no life in the Dead Sea. And when the river touched it, now it brought healing and life in the sea. And the anointing comes to us, through us, for our purpose. When the Holy Spirit hits your life, he wants to use you to heal the broken people around you. He doesn't just want to heal your brokenness. He wants to heal you so you can heal them. It's not your healing. You're not the healer. You just know the healer. I never walked on water, but I know the one who did, who does. Amen? It's the anointing through the Holy Spirit's anointing. It helps us to heal broken lives, broken homes, broken hearts, broken people. There's some lost people out there on this Mission Sunday that need the Lord. They need God. They need the river of God. They need the church. Not only does it bring healing when you surrender, it brings restoration. Verse 9, everything that Moses, that moves will live. It said, everything that moves will live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish because the river flows. That gives me hope. As a pastor, I want more than anything to see souls saved. How many of you want to see souls saved? We're not just sitting here waiting on Jesus. As great as that is, come, Jesus, come. You know, the gospel's really not good news unless you never heard it. If you haven't heard it, it's not good news at all. If you heard it, how many know it is good news? So how will they hear? How will they hear if we don't tell them? God wants us to catch some fish. I'm glad for the beautiful fish. Look at you. You're a mess of fish. That's what we call it in Louisiana. You're just one big mess of fish, and this is beautiful. But if everybody's in the aquarium, who's out there reaching and trying to reach the fish? It's Mission Sunday. What purpose is there to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and anointed by the river if you're not going to fish? Why would you have a net or a pole or a bait or a boat if you're not going to go fish? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Titanic sank 15 lifeboats. One boat came back to rescue the perishing. I'm telling you, it's God's will that we catch fish. And I'm not an angler. I have fished. I told you about my fishing trip down in the White River, where the little trout wait behind a rock, play tricks on you. Can I tell you, I'm not playing psycho games with fish. I don't have time for that. I'll just go to the Harder House and buy my fish. I'm not going to get in a boat and play games with a fish. Well, he nibbles on the worm until he feels ready. I don't have time for the I can't tell whether it's the current or whether it's the wind blowing. I just don't have time for that. I'm not an angler. But Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Hey, whatever I got to do to win somebody, whatever I got to do. And I challenge you on this Mission Sunday, Bring a Friend Sunday. Hey, let's go fishing. Let's go catch fish. Amen? There shall be a great multitude of fish because the river flows. Restore, O Lord, by the power of your Spirit, our marriages, our families, our churches, our kids, our nation, our world. Broken people need Jesus. And it's up to us to do it. If the church is broken and lifeless, then how are we going to touch the world? If the church is all full of holes in the net, you cast a net, it's all full of holes. You're not going to catch anything. How many know God needs to heal us? Healing first, restoration second. And when he restores us, then evangelism is third. Souls. Souls, verse 10, the fishermen shall stand and spread their nets and catch all kinds of fish, an exceeding great catch. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus is trying to tell the disciples. They fished all night, caught nothing. And Jesus said, well, hey, go out a little deeper and cast your net on the other side of the boat. And they were just having this conversation, at least having the thoughts. Okay, you're a carpenter. You're not really a fisherman. But Peter said, you know, me and John and James, we were raised and we know what we're doing. Okay? We spit on our bait. We did everything. No fish. So, Lord, we don't want to be disrespectful, but, you know, nevertheless, I mean, no, that's a powerful word. Nevertheless means I surrender. Nevertheless. And they caught so many fish, 152 to be exact. That's a lot of fish. Maybe we don't fish because we don't want to clean them. Maybe we don't want to because they're not like us. I don't know why we're not fishing, but we need to start fishing. At least spread the net. Amen? And the river will restore the abundance of the waters. This is the multiplication anointing. Full nets. Somebody shout, full nets. And it's our Love Our City month. Let's go fishing. Let's get full of the anointing. Let's go. We need revival in the church. A revival that'll affect the world. How do you know when the church is alive? When the people in the world that are dead come alive. So the anointing in your life touches them. And when you touch the river, touches them, they come alive. They may be only ankle deep, but don't worry. They'll get in over their head too. I just want to encourage you. When you're over your head, I mean, even when everything's over your head, everything's still under his feet. You don't have to worry about it. The river will restore the abundance of the waters. And every week, the church must cast a net. We can't come up empty anymore. The solution is a move of the Spirit. The flow through me, Holy Spirit. Somebody shout, flow through me, Holy Spirit. Father God, bring conviction, bring conversion, bring compassion, bring the commission to the church to go and make. Two verbs in the Great Commission, go, make. The second one's even more urgent than the first one. Many times we go, it's easy to go catch a fish. It's hard to make a disciple. Once you catch them, you can't just release them. We make fun of Taylor over here in the Ozark people, catch and release. You go to Louisiana, that fish is dead and will be eaten. There is no catch and release. We try to keep it to our limits. We don't want to be on TV, Louisiana law. We try to stay in our limit, but that fish is going in the pan. We're going to eat it. We don't just do this for nothing. Take a picture. Try to eat your picture. I want to eat the fish. I just wanted to throw that at Taylor over here. The Great Commission is not just make decisions, make disciples. Baptize them, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And listen, remember the reminder Jesus gave at the end. And remember, it's not you. I will be with you. You'll be in the river. The Holy Spirit's going to do this through you. Abundance is going to come, verse 12. Trees will grow, produce. All over the place. Fruit, leaves you can have for medicine that will not fade. And the leaf will not prosper. the leaf will not wither, but you shall prosper all the days of your life. That's Psalms. Praise God, this river produces life and fruit and multiplied transformation and healing. So what is the strength of the river, the benefits of the anointing? Well, the barren become fruitful. How many know I'm ready for dry bones to be nourished? Amen? To come alive. Empty becomes filled. The bitter becomes sweet. The unhealthy is healed. The dead is made alive. And there will be fruit in abundance year round. Wow. So I want to close with this. I got 10 minutes. And we started connect groups tonight. We have grow groups in the morning. And we're taking ownership of this. Because what we want is spiritual transformation. Oh, Grove, we love you. We're glad you're here. But we want you to grow. Spiritual transformation is what we want. And even when you feel fully grown, can I tell you that age does not produce maturity? You can be 99 and still acting like a little baby. So we have these groups. And I want to give you the four-step process to transform our city. You're taking notes, here it is. Number one, explore your frame of reference. Explore your community. Take a look around. Open your eyes. Jesus said, hey, don't say 4 months and then lift up your eyes toward the harvest field. Take a look around. There's people around you that need the Lord. Say, Pastor, I'm so scared. I know that. That's why you need to go deeper in the river. Spy out the land. See what their terrain is like. Identify the challenges. Identify the opportunities. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What's the worst they can tell you? No? Listen how easy this is. I did it a couple times this week. Hey, this Sunday is Bring a Friend Sunday at Oak Grove Assembly. And we're going to have pulled pork sandwiches. And their eyeballs light up. Pulled pork sandwiches? They really don't want Jesus yet. They just want pulled pork sandwiches. I'm not in the business, the restaurant business, trying to give pulled pork to somebody. I'm trying to get them in the door where the Holy Ghost can touch their life in an anointing, under the anointing of the Word of God being preached. The sandwich is just a tool, like the bait. I mean, Satan's baiting them for sure. With all kind of lures. So we're not trying to trick people. This is not an event-oriented church. We only do this once a year. But it ought to be an every weekend kind of thing. You should have somebody. When God was getting his people ready to enter the promised land, he wanted them to possess it. He told them to send a few people out and spy the land. So I ask you this week to seek God's mind on how you can prepare yourself, position yourself for opportunities. Opportunities, divine appointments. God will set them up for you. Don't be afraid to step into those areas where God has placed you or wants you to be involved. He's provided for the redemption. He's provided for the healing, the recovery, the restoration. How many know Jesus did it all himself? In fact, he's setting you up now. And everybody has a different sphere of influence in the culture. You might be at the hospital. You might be at the bank. You might be at, who knows where you're at. But just explore your area. Let me go on. Engage. Number two, engage. Engage. You can engage five tools. Personal lifestyle. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Hey, just shine. Wake up happy. Come on, put a smile on your face. Let the joy of the Lord show through. If you go to work grumpy and mad all the time, and how's the world going to be? Nobody's attracted to that. Shine. Come on. Somebody say shine. Personal lifestyle. Number two, be bold and communicate the gospel. Share Jesus. Share Jesus. Share your testimony. I told you mine in about 5 seconds. My girlfriend went to camp, got saved, came back, prayed me through. I'm in the kingdom, ankle deep. See how easy that is? She prayed. It was about a year. I was a tough fish to catch. But the Lord got me. Thirdly, demonstrations of love and power. Demonstrate God's love and power. Be nice. Be kind. Say some nice things. Do something nice. You never know what can happen. I said, mercy goes a long way. So prayer and intercession, flow in the anointing, minister healing and deliverance. Fast a little bit, engage in prayer. Repent for the sins you see around you. Intercede for God to move. I mean, there's some demonic things happening in this culture. Demonic, demons everywhere. Everywhere, it's dark out there. But I'm not gonna let the darkness out there put out the fire in the light in here. I mean, we are supposed to dispel the darkness. Dominate. Ask the Lord to draw people to himself. Number three, evangelize. Evangelize. I'm going fast. It means leading people into a commitment to follow Jesus. Receive from the Holy Spirit strategies. Hey, I believe in a creative anointing. God can creatively speak to you. He can speak to you a very creative way to speak to somebody, maybe a person you work with, a family member or somebody. Show a little love, speak something, get on their level, find a way. We're not saying go drink a beer with them. How many know the devil is a liar? Well, I got to win them to Jesus, so I need a fifth of wine so I can drink some wine. And No, you need to get saved. The problem is church ain't saved, and the unsaved is trying to save the unsaved. How many know the first thing you find is purity in the river? Purity. For the undefiled is not going to save the... Y'all not hearing me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Receive it. Opportunities on your campus, in your community, house visits, hospital visits, prison visits, special evangelistic events like today would have been a good one. Coffee shop ministry, restaurant ministry. You know, I eat out just about every day. Somewhere at lunch. And I'm not eating just to eat, although I do love to eat. You can tell by the ministry I'm in. Or the shape I'm in. But everybody's a candidate for the kingdom. Go to the mall. Take a short walk. I'll tell you, find some interesting things in the mall. The last one, equip. Equip. It means empower new believers to become disciples and transformation agents for the kingdom. Ambassadors. So explore, engage, evangelize, equip. That is our 4 points for Love Our City Month. I just wanted to tell you, I mixed a little bit of strategy with a little bit of preaching so that you can walk out of here with a plan. How many know it'll work if you'll engage? Engage in the Holy Spirit. Pray. Our church is spirit-filled, word-based, Bible-believing. And Jesus desires more of his presence and supernatural power to bring transformation and healing and miracles and deliverance. We preach the full gospel. Don't worry about bringing friends. If they come, I'm going to preach truth. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to set people free. And we're not ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to get all that he has for you. May the Lord lead us.